folks who planned this decided they needed fun titles for all the presentations. And I don't know what a quotient is, but it has something to do with division or multiplication, I think. So forgive me if you see nothing more about quotient after I move off of this slide. This is me. I work for Atrium Health. I am a senior director for internal communications. We have a lot of people. We have about 72,000 teammates. You can see a little bit more about our scope, 40 hospitals, we have doctor's practices, full range of care. We're based out of Charlotte, North Carolina, and we cover more than just Charlotte, North Carolina. We go into Georgia, we have people in Winston-Salem, and we are working on planning a new combination with Advocate Aurora Health, which is based here in Chicago and Wisconsin and Illinois. So I have some friends from there that I just met today. So I'm so excited that they're here in the room. And they're promised they're not going to tell my boss anything that I say here today that would make him, you know, embarrassed. Anyway, so what I want to talk about today is sort of a non-digital side of communications a little bit. We do a little digital with it, but it's a non-digital side of things. And the idea was, a lot of us as communicators spend time figuring out how we solve the fires, the cranky people, the bad media relations inquiries. We spend a lot of time on the negative. There are a few other seats over here. Don't be shy. Please, like, walk on through. It's so crowded over there. Like, come on in. It's okay. I'd rather you be comfortable and enjoying. We can unstack some chairs even if you want. Anyway, so the idea was, we probably have some teammates who don't want to see anything more from us, right? Like, they're done, they would rather us never email them again. But then we also have a chunk of teammates who want more than we can ever give them. They never feel like they've gotten enough. They're so engaged, so passionate, so interested, we could just continually feed them. What would happen if we spent some energy on that and not just on the negative? So that's what we did. We came up with this program that we call Team Teal. And the goal is really just to promote the reputation of Atrium Health in their professional and personal networks. And social media matters, but conversations happen offline. And in healthcare, how many of you have ever needed a doctor for something? And did you just Google, or did you ask a friend, or a neighbor, or somebody you know? You probably had a conversation with somebody that none of us can capture with any digital metrics. And so while we talk about social engagement, we are also very deeply caring about those interpersonal connections that many of our employees have. All right, so I met some folks yesterday and we were talking about mergers and acquisitions, or combinations as we call them in the nonprofit world. And what I'm gonna share with you now is that we launched this program in June of 2017. We launched this program before we combined with anybody new or did any of that, before COVID. So all of these pictures are pre-COVID. There's no masks. Please don't be upset that we have big gatherings or anything like that as a healthcare organization. That's my disclaimer. So this is where I go into the nitty-gritty of how we actually did this. So we started by saying we probably already have some groups that we can target to start right off the bat and help us build our success with people we think are already kind of going to be interested. So we have people who are on our community benefit council, so the people who help run our volunteer programs, who help be the champions within each of their departments for giving campaigns and things like that. We knew we had people who were serving on nonprofit boards throughout our communities, and we had a list of those people. Great. We also had lists of people who had won our highest level of internal awards. Those are probably some engaged people, like if they were nominated by people and then actually selected for that. But yep, there's some probably some good people there. Then we had our affinity group leaders. So we had our Equality One, which is our LGBTQ group. We had our young professionals groups, things like that. So we invited those leaders to join. And then we asked our vice presidents to go ahead and nominate. If you know of somebody who you think would be really good for this, you know, the person who always raises their hands in the meetings and wants more information, please nominate them for this program. We did ask them to fill out a pretty extensive application. Not because we were going to read every single word that they wrote, but quite honestly, because by asking them to fill out an extensive application where they had some open-ended questions that they had to fill out, it showed effort, And it showed that they were actually the kind of person we were looking to target, somebody looking to go above and beyond, so passionate, so engaged that yes, they want to do this badly enough that they didn't care that it was not just multiple choice answers, that they had to put some effort in. They, of course, had to share with us what their involvement is in the community, you know, why they're passionate about Atrium Health, and they had to be approved for membership. We wanted, you know, people in good standing. We wanted their supervisors to give us a thumbs up that said yes. We had some supervisors who contacted us and said, this person does too many things, I can't have them do one more. Please help me, I don't want them to end up disengaged as a result of me rejecting them for this. And so we did, we said, yep, we got it. They didn't know it was their supervisor who said it was a bad idea, we just said, we got a lot of applicants, thank you for your interest. Unfortunately, so sad. But we protected our managers and supervisors from that moment. So you don't want to create an engagement program and end up with, you know, anybody being disengaged as a result of that program. Okay, so here's one of the magic things that we're still trying to figure out exactly what we do in this post-COVID land. But one of the magic things were some of the in-person events that we were able to do. I got really special access to our CEO. We would have an annual breakfast where they would get together and our entire C-suite would come, and it would be in a much bigger room than this, but it would be tables like this. They would be spread out all over the room, engaging with people, answering questions. The CEO would take questions. It was a really lovely event in that extra special moment throughout the course of the year. When we had one of our first combinations with Navisant Health, which is now Atrium Health Navisant in Georgia, there was a delegation of people from Team Teal who were sent down there to sort of be the welcome wagon. They were cheerleaders, they met a whole bunch of people, they went on tours and really helped start that culture exchange, and that's what we used them for. And then every so often we would have something even more special. So our CEO did Dancing with the Stars, Charlotte, not the TV show, the local version that raised money for our local ballet. And we had some extra tickets at the last minute, and so we invited members of Team Teal to go to this black tie event. And they always surprise me because I tend to feel bad if I don't give people enough notice for things. Like, I kind of want to give you a heads up that we might invite you to something. But this group, when we would invite them to things with like less than 24 hours notice, we would quickly have a lot of people really excited and interested. So it was a sign to us that we found the right group of folks. All right, we also do some not so fun stuff with them. So one of the other things we want to make sure is that in their professional and personal networks, when they're asked questions about things like, how come billing in healthcare is so terrible? Or why are there long wait times in the emergency department? How come you can't help kids with behavioral health problems? How come they're being held in an ED for so long? But they have some information. So we hold webinars with them. I mean, really low tech, just Teams, or back in the day, Skype. So we do that, and we bring in an expert who shares with them, here is our financial assistance programs, here's how we handle charity care, here's what we do, and give them that background knowledge so that they have some fuel to be able to have those conversations with people. These are some of the examples of some of the things that we have to address. Fun. We all have those things, but that's one of the ways we use them, is that we try to make sure they have the information they need. If we know something bad's coming in the paper, or not the paper, the digital land of paper, we will go ahead and try to get them a heads up. When we announced that we were planning to combine with Advocate Aurora Health, one of the things that we did is we got them on a call after we made the announcement. That was one of those, like, we just couldn't tell anybody before it actually happened. But we got them on a call afterward and shared with them the same kind of information that the highest level leaders in our organization had had access to, but that we, you know, we couldn't hold for 70,000 people. It just wasn't going to be doable, but we did do it for this group, and they were able to do that. So this is what we think we're going to be when we come together. So you can see we have some challenges in terms of we're going to about double in size. And so that's one of our new challenges, is how do I take this program that we started in 2017 when we were based in and around Charlotte only, when we had about 35,000 employees, and how do we scale it? Oh, with no new resources, staff-wise. So that's where we're going. So this is one of the tools we use. This is Teal and Insider, this is our first branded program. We use this to communicate with them. When we started, we actually used Yammer. We just had a Yammer group, that's all we had. And we would just share information with them. And one of the things they said to us was, it's really hard. I've got to copy and paste it and go stick it somewhere else and to share it out on social media. I really wish I had an easy button where I could just hit share, but Yammer doesn't work that way. And so we transitioned them over to our First Up platform because there is an easy button. There's this little arrow that you've probably seen if you have an iPhone. If you have something else, I don't know what it looks like. I'm not familiar. But there is something on the Androids that does the same thing, and it allows them to share in whatever way works for them, whether they want to share on a text message or if they want to share on any of their social platforms that they have connected to their program. We do a set and forget newsletter. So it goes out every Wednesday with whatever the top content is that we've posted in that channel, which makes it easy with no new resources to be able to help communicate with them and help get them the information that they are craving. This is just some of the kinds of stories that we share. This is one of the most popular stories. This is not one of our nurses though. This is a patient. This is a woman who was in our care that our team floated up to us and said, we have this amazing person we're caring for. She was a nurse in World War II and served in the US Army, and now she's here in our rehab facility, and it's Nurses Week, and like, can we do something with this? So this was one of our more popular posts that we had shared with this group. And it's this kind of content that we're really excited to share out, and that, of course, captures attention. These are some of our metrics, because I guess we care about numbers, maybe. Quotient. I tried to put some math in. So our email open rate on the newsletter that we send out is about 57%, and that is higher than our average open rate that we get for when we send to all of the people. This is our click-through rate. This is dramatically higher than our click-through rate on most of our emails. Most people just scan it and don't click a darn thing for most of our emails. But for this group, they really do engage more highly. And this is just over time. Just some, like I said, it said quotient. I had to put some numbers in that.
Yeah.
All right. One of the things, though, we knew we needed to figure out, how do we measure the more intangible impact of this program? How do I know that they've talked to a neighbor about it? Well, we just had to do a self-reporting survey. We all know, that is what that is in terms of accuracy, but that's what we had to do, because how else are you going to know? And in the first year, they told us 96%, they had used information that we gave to them to share in person. They had participated in events, only 56%, but they still were doing what we had hoped, even if they hadn't participated in the events. They shared on social, and they said this program helped them answer questions about Team Teal. About Eat, Train, Now. One of the things, though, that we didn't expect that they said to us was that their participation in this program made them feel more resilient, made them feel more connected to their peers and to their organization, and made them even more passionate about where they worked. So this was a group that was already, super duper passionate, and they maybe are the people in the room with their teams that are the only ones who are passionate, happy, excited, or whatever that might feel like. So the chance to hang out with people who were just as excited and passionate was really meaningful for them, and that sharing of information that they experienced amongst each other was one of their favorite parts of the program. So this is today. We have about 367 members, lots of different job titles. We did not list all 207 for you, but these are, our job titles are grouped into families. So we have 27 different job families within it, and across 79 different work locations. This is organic. We didn't go and say, I need somebody from here, and from here, and from this category, and this category. This is just naturally what has happened for us. We just didn't over-engineer it. I overthink, as I've been made fun of after that presentation. My team let me know that, yeah, you do that a little. But with this presentation, with this group, we didn't overthink it too much. In the second year, we did look and say, we have some gaps in these areas, and we said to those leaders, hey, you don't really have anybody, we'd love to have somebody if you could think of somebody. But we did start to fill those things in. But then COVID happened, so anyway. So this is what our makeup is. I would love to have more than 16% nurses, because our organization is about a third nurses. Not surprising, we're healthcare. But I do feel it's pretty good that the clinical or clinical operations is 29%. This includes our nursing base. This is respiratory therapists, lab. This is even people who do coding and anything that's sort of like in the land of patient care. So I feel pretty good about that. The other one that we learned is that this is a really useful program for your frontline teammates, but especially your middle-level managers. So we found that the people who were getting a lot of value out of it were your first-line supervisors, and sort of that next level above. In the first iteration of it, we actually had some VPs join, some executives join. And then the second year when we said, do you still want to be a part of it? We let everybody opt in again. They said, you know, this is, I realize now, this is really not for me because I get this information in all of the things I'm already doing as a role, as an executive with the organization. But some are still in there, but it really is the middle level management that we find has the most value in it. And so that's one of the learnings for us. All right, so how do we scale? How do I take a program that was designed to work in a small geographic area for about 35,000 employees and expand it to what we are today, which is 72,000 across four states. How do I do that if I'm not given the resources? And so we came up with this idea called the Silver Circle, where we take our existing members and some new members, because we'll have to bring in some new members, who will sort of run a local program. Because one of the things they don't want to have to do is come to Charlotte every time when we want to have a special event. That's going to be expensive for travel, but also it's going to be just too challenging logistically. So we established a program called Silver Circle to help us grow. And that is where we were at the beginning of 2020. And then we all got distracted in a pretty big way. And so now our next thought is, okay, what do we do? How are we going to make this work? These are the expectations that we have for Silver Circle. We are revising some of this because we're trying to figure it out. Like, I don't want to pretend to you guys that I know how this is all going to work. As I work with some of my counterparts in Georgia who are in the back of the room, we still have to figure this out. But this is what we would do with Silver Circle. And what you see over here is one of the things also that we find is really helpful, is something special. Believe it or not, the badge reel was the biggest request that we got. Everybody wanted a way to be identified that they were part of Team Teal as they walk around their coworkers all day. They wanted to be labeled as special. And so not only do we have a badge reel for Team Teal, we have a silver version if you're part of Silver Circle. Because it makes you more special. And Silver Circle gets this really cool jacket. So we're nonprofit healthcare. So we don't do like a lot of giveaways, we just don't. But we do try to do the special things for this group so that they can have that extra special feeling. And clothing always seems to be what everybody wants. It's the hardest giveaway to do, but it's what everybody wants. So we try to find a way to make that work. All right, so my goal was to leave time for questions, and I think I've done that.
Yeah, about 11 minutes.
I was like, it would be 10 minutes of questions, so I did that. So yes, I'd love to answer any questions that you all have. Yes, ma'am.
So I saw on the slide that there's, I think, 300 and something members of Team Teal, but you send the newsletter to like 5,500 people. Who does the newsletter go to? Did I say that right? Or the emails?
We do not send it to 5,500, no.
Okay.
So.
I think it was 5,500 emails sent.
Yes. Yes. No, yeah, it goes just to this group. And that is one of the lessons learned. If you all don't have a program like this and you want to launch something like this, figure out your data management before you launch, because you could probably do a manual data management if you launch and you have 100 people, but if you get to 400, yeah, so that was the other thing that we've done over the past couple of years is take our data management out of manual into a not manual data management system.
My name's Julie, and I'm from Fresenius Medical Care, and it's interesting to me that you launched before the pandemic and had this great success. I think one of the hesitancies that we have as we look at our clinics and how understaffed and overburdened they are is, and you sort of alluded to this, is like asking anyone at Connex to do one more thing, it's just so tough. So I was wondering how you think about that as you go forward.
So we are in that world right now. So I'm trying to figure out how we're going to expand this to different parts of our organization that are outside of Charlotte, where we're headquartered. And some parts of our organization are more ready for that than others, just both in the readiness for how they feel about being a part of this large, bigger organization, or in what their own original culture was and what they were used to. So we have one part of our organization that has had brand ambassadors in the past and are hungry to have that again. So we're going to start there, and we're going to figure out and learn things from them before we go elsewhere to places that are maybe perhaps feeling more overburdened, overwhelmed by all of the change, and maybe are less ready. So I don't know that you have to launch everywhere. Maybe there is part of your organization that is readier that you could try and learn from.
Yes. I work with the Medical College of Wisconsin, and most of my internal audience is like really 90% physicians. I noticed you pulled up, yes, yeah. I noticed you pulled up nurses. Yes. As far as your, what is your engagement with physicians? And
yeah, so they're an interesting bunch, right? Physicians.
Interesting.
We all need them. We love them when we need them, right? But they are interesting, and getting their attention and engagement on something like this is very hard. And quite honestly, I think I would have to have a specialized program just for them in order to meet their needs of what they're really looking for. And because the content is too broad, it's not specialized enough. So I'm looking at nurses just because that's where our patient satisfaction is really driven through a lot, is through our nurses. It's also where, honestly, the overall engagement, like, as go nurses, so go our overall engagement. So that's part of the reason we focus on them a lot. But yeah, I have no solution for physicians. Because they are a different ball of wax. But what I hear is that they really want to know what each other is doing and what makes that person cool. Do I want to go work with that person? And can you show me off? That's, yeah.
You showed a Facebook stat, which is that like the primary platform that people are sharing from for stuff, or is it LinkedIn?
It's text message.
Okay.
I just use the Facebook one because it's like synonymous with social, and sharing. But yeah, no, it's text message tends to be what most people. So they're seeing something and they're texting it to their buddy.
Okay.
Just I know, it was not what I would have expected, but it's mostly text message.
So can you clarify, they're texting to their friends or you're texting them?
They're texting to theirs. So that little arrow button that we all have that where you can share something from, you know, I want this from Amazon. Please get it for me. Let me share it with you. There's that button is on the First Step platform. And you can pick it and you can put it on social, or you can send it in an email, or you can send it in a text. And it's text.
Julie, you have a lot more than the 367 people using the First Up platform.
Yes.
Do you use targeted topics to only give that audience shareable content, or are other employees able to share that are not in Teamteal?
Yes. So everything we put in Teamteal, not everything, 99.9% of what we put in Teamteal is shareable, and this is just one of our topics. So across other topics, we do some shareable content. Not everything is shareable, but we do some. I don't have the metrics memorized for what they're doing over there on the non-Teamteal topics. But yes, we do shareable. For the most part, we don't do commentable because I'm not resourced to monitor the comments. And my lawyers tell me that if somebody flags a safety concern on the comments and we don't notice it, we can get in trouble. So if I can't monitor the comments, I don't tend to turn them on. But we do sharing for a lot of things too on the other channels.
Hi, I'm Daniel with Amazon. Can you share a little bit more about how you leverage Teamteal when you have negative headlines? You shared that slide, but I'm curious, like, how do you share talking points with them? Do you expect them to share them out?
Yes. So what we do, we try for a while to get a subject matter expert on right before breaking news. They tend to be really swamped right before a really negative story is coming out. So instead, my VP over corporate, you know, enterprise communications, who has been working with that expert, comes on and delivers them, here's what we're saying, here's our media statement, here's the situation, And then he takes questions from that group. So we try to do that before the story breaks. We can't always, because sometimes we don't really know when the story will break, how bad it's going to be, and do we want to talk about it, or is it going to be not so bad? So that's what we do, and we just do it in a Teams webinar. And because the group is small enough right now, we can take those questions. And we will put that out. They learn that if we put something out that's got less than 24 hours notice, that it might be something interesting. It might be, we're going to combine with Advocate Aurora Health, you know? So they've learned to try to join if they can. Yeah. And then they use that information to share however they want. We don't tend to put that in writing, because we'd rather them just absorb it and take their own notes, but we don't distribute that out in writing.
Yes? Hi, David McCulley-Homwallop, and I just have a question about, you were talking about that slide and employee retention and how they feel about the company maybe being part of the program. Has this program also helped with recruitment? I'm just curious about what that might
be. Recruitment. We had not used it for recruitment before, no. And right now we have so many challenges with recruitment. I'm like, oh, how could we use it with recruitment? To see how that would work, because yes, that would be interesting, wouldn't it? But no, we would need to know that they need to come in and be a successfully engaged, passionate employee before it would make sense to bring them into the program. In the back. Self-reporting survey, we just put a survey out and said, did you? And so I know there's accuracy issues with self-reporting as always, but there's really no other way to capture, did you have a conversation with your neighbor, other than to ask, did you have a conversation with your neighbor? So yeah.
Yes? Good question. I'm from Ohio State. Your content that you're putting in this channel, is it your team that is crafting the content, or are you taking it from other places, like maybe it's a news release, or maybe something that your marketing team is putting together regarding a new service, or how does that work?
It is any content we can get from anywhere, that would be great. So sometimes it is a news release that somebody's put out, but we do have a whole brand journalism program where we are creating our own stories and telling our own stories on a blog, so it's more of that kind of content, storytelling content, than it is pure news release or marketing content. So for example, you know, I showed you the picture of the nurse, that was something we put out on social. So we have a whole content production meeting and editorial planning and everything else where we're publishing out this content as it comes in.
Okay. I should make a disclaimer. I think I don't want to overspeak, but you're here the rest of today and tomorrow if there are more minutes. We have time for one more. I think we're
I wanted to ask about your in-person events that you had had. Were those just for Team Teal? Like, was the focus for just them to bond in those events?
Yes, so those were Team Teal events. So when we had them do like a tour of a new cancer building that we opened up. So they were one of the groups that got a special tour. We had them travel to one of our new locations, and they did a whole like 3-day trip where they went from location to location. It was just members of Team Teal. Sometimes they get special seats at something. So at our big leadership event, the CEO wanted to acknowledge them, so we stuck them in a table down front, and they got special acknowledgement during the event. So the events tend to be specially for them, or there's a special part of the event. Obviously, the Dancing with the Stars of LA was not just for them, but there's extra tickets we gave to them in just that.
That was on the quicker side, so there is one more. We have time for one more. Otherwise, going once, going twice. Okay. Yes.
How did the COVID impact your program? Did you engage them hard during that time, or did you have to take a step back because of the priorities?
I mean, priorities.
Yeah, we
right?
have very similar programs, so.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, did we do in-person events? No, we did not. Did we do less webinars? Yes. We did, but we used them where we could and where it made sense. We continued feeding them the information about what we were doing as an organization. And one of the big things we did is we tapped into them when we were rolling out our vaccine requirements. As a healthcare organization, we had to require that for our employees pretty early on. So we tapped into them. We actually had a webinar with them, a Q&A session with them before we had one with like our manager level audience. And that gave us a really good sign of the kinds of questions we were going to get. Because quite honestly, even with this group, we got tough questions about that topic. So they are also a group we will use for, experimentation is the wrong word, but we will try things with them because they are a safer group where they will forgive us if it doesn't go perfectly. So some of the first things, you know, we would ever do with that, you know, the organization will try with them first in like a focus group kind of setting. When we were getting ready to change our name from Carolina's Healthcare System to Atrium Health, we brought a group of them in for a focus group. We didn't tell them exactly what we were talking about. We had them sign non-disclosures and everything else, but they were gave us really great insights. But yeah, COVID rocked our worlds like everybody else.
Yes.
No different.